The next two Mishnayos, Mishnah Ches and Mishnah Tes, in the 10th parak of Yevamos, which are the concluding Mishnayos of the parak, continue with the same cases that we were discussing in the previous two Mishnayos. The case where a minor male, a male between the ages of 9 and 13, attempts to do Yivam to his sister-in-law, to his dead brother's wife, and the question is, how effective was that? We saw in the last Mishnah that according to the Tanakhama, according to the Chachamim, that is effective on a Durabban level. It is effective not as a Torah consideration, but only as a Gzeira Durabbanan, whereas Rav Shimon argued that it's not effective as a Durabbanan, it's a Safek whether it's effective or not. It's a question whether a male between the age of 9, but is not yet a Gadol, is able to do Yibum, and so therefore either it was a valid Yibum or it wasn't a valid Yibum. It's either or, it's not just the Derabbanan decree. So Mishnah Ches says, Ben Teisha Shanim V'Yomechad Shebo Al Yevimto V'Achar Kach Ba'al Tzrasa. What would happen if a nine-year-old boy, a boy between the ages of 9 and 13, went and had Bia with his Yavam, with his sister-in-law? So he attempted to do Yibam, v'achar kach ba'al sarasa. And then, instead of waiting for that relationship to be consummated at some point in the future when he becomes a gadol, instead of that, he goes and has relations with his other sister-in-law. Meaning his brother had two wives, and he has relations with the other wife that he didn't attempt to do Yibam on previously. So the Mishnah says, pasal al yedei atmo. So therefore, he was just posel himself. He just created a roadblock in the way of ever consummating his Yibum with the first one, because, as we said, the Tanakhama holds this Yibum with the first one was effective on a Derabbanan level. It was as if he did Mamar to her, and now it's as if he did Mamar to the second one. And so when you do Mamar to two women, so then he prevented himself from ever consummating, he's eventually going to have to do chalitza to them. Rabbi Shimon says, lo pasal. Rabbi Shimon, consistent with his opinion, says no, it didn't. It was not a meaningful relationship, the second relationship, because if the first relationship was a meaningful relationship, if it was Yibam, then it was full Yibam, it was complete Yibam. And the second one, the tzara is pata, the second one, it goes and can marry whoever she wants, and she's no longer related, there's no longer the possibility of a Yibum relationship, and so that's meaningless. That second woman is asur, actually, to this katan. And on the other hand, if this katan's first Yibum did not work, that's because the Yibum of a katan never works. And so if the Yibum of Katan never works, then his attempt at Yibum with the second woman also just doesn't work. And so either way, either the first one was good, and therefore the second one's not good, or the first one was not good, and just like the first one's not good, consistent with that, the Yibum with the second one is not good either. New case, Ben Teisha Shanim V'Yom Echad, a nine-year-old boy, a minor, who has bia with Shabbal Yivimto, has bia with the Yavam Vamis, and he dies. Right? So now this child who did this attempted Yibum, who did this half Yibum, which the rabbis equated with Mamar, so now he's dead. And now there's a third brother. So the third brother is confronted with a situation where there's a woman who's connected to him for Yibum from two sources. She's connected to him from the first brother, who is fully married to her, and she's also connected to him as the partial wife, as the Derabbanan wife of as the Derabbanan mom or wife of the second brother. And so, since this woman is coming to him from both of these brothers, we apply the principle of Zika Shnei Yivmin. So even though the second brother was not really a full marriage, it was only meaningful on the Derabban level, we apply the principle of Zika Shnei Yevim, which says that if a woman comes to Yibum from two brothers and she falls to the other brothers from two sources, meaning there are two brothers who died without children, and the same woman falls for Yibum from both of them, so in that case, Choletes Vilmes Yabemes. We apply the principle of Zika Shnei Yevim, which says that a woman like that cannot do Yibum, and therefore must take the only other option, which is to do chalitza. So the third brother in this case must do chalitza to this woman. Nasa isha vameis, harezu petura. What happens if this 9-year-old boy married a separate woman, right? He married someone totally unrelated. So harezu petura. So the woman he married, the woman who married was totally unrelated, is pater. She has no requirement of chalitza, no requirement of yibum, because even though the chachamim gave the katan some yibum power, some power of yibum as if it's like a mamar, still on the deraisa level, in masa katan klum, the action that the katan did is meaningless, and so they only gave him that special power in the realm of Yibum for certain considerations. But in any other realm, even in any other realm of marriage, the action of a katan is meaningless, and so the kedushin of a katan is meaningless. So if this katan had married some other completely unrelated woman, that woman is not liable to do Yibum, is not liable to do chalitza. That just wasn't a marriage. So even though the marriage to this katan's sister-in-law was something of a marriage, was effective at least like mamar, as effectively starting the Yibam process, his kedushin to some totally unrelated woman where there's no pre-existing zika is meaningless, and therefore the woman doesn't have to do chalitza or Yibam. The Mishnah test moves on to another case. Ben Teisha Shanim Yom Echad Sheba Al Yivimto, a 9-year-old boy who again had relations with his Yibam, attempted to do Yibam, Umisha Higdil Nasa Isha Acheres, and then once he became a gadol, once he reached the age of 13 and had the signs of gadlus, so he, instead of consummating his marriage with her, instead of consummating the marriage to the woman who he tied to him from the time he was a minor, he goes and marries a different woman. Vames, and then he passes away with no children. So now he has this woman who he had done a partial Yibum to, who the rabbis had given him the status of having done Mamar to. And then there's this other woman who he was fully married to her to, because he did Kedushin after he became a Gadol. So Imlo Yadas Rishona Mishahigdil, if he never consummated the relationship with that first woman, with the woman he had done Yibum to, so that relationship always remained in that stage of partial Yibum, of where the Rabbanan said it means something, so Harishona Choletes Lo Mesyavemes. That first woman, the woman who was his sister-in-law, who he started the Yibum process but never consummated the Yibum process, that woman is Choletes Lo Mesyavemes. As we said in the previous Mishnah, she has to do Chalitza, but she cannot do Yibum because she has this Zika Shnei Yevim. She's following two Yibum from two sources, from the first brother and also from the second brother who had done Yibum to her as a Katan, had done a partial Yibum to her. Vashnia, and the second one, meaning the wife he had married as his full wife, she's just a regular woman. She either does Chalitza or does Yibum. She's not affected by the partial Yibum status that had been done or that had existed with the first woman. Rabbi Shimon argues, consistent with his general opinion, Rabbi Shimon argues that miyabim le'iso shiyurta v'choleitz l'shnia, that the third brother, the fourth brother, the other brothers of this minor, or this now gadol, the other brothers can do yibum to whichever of these two women they want, v'choleitz l'shnia, and then they do chalitza to the other. Because consistent with his opinion previously, Rav Shimon says, either the yibum that a katan does is actually effective, and if it's effective, it's fully effective, or it wasn't effective, meaning it was a safek, was it effective or not? So if it was an effective yibum, so then the other brothers, as we said, could do yibum to her. And if they do yibum to her, so that's a fully effective yibum, and it would exempt the other one. So, and equivalently, if they did yibum to the second woman, on the assumption that the first woman was a fully good marriage, so then the yibum to the second woman would exempt the first woman. On the other hand, Rav Shimon says, if the yibum to the first woman was not good, then it was completely meaningless, and there was no relationship at all. In which case they can also do yibum to her because there was no relationship at all. So they can do yibum with the first one because of the relationship, because there was no relationship with the second brother, and it's just a continuation of the requirement to do yibum from the first brother. And they can do yibum to the second brother's second wife, because that was the regular wife, that was the wife he married when he was a couple. So in both cases, they could really do yibum to whichever one they want. It doesn't make a difference. And then the choletz l'shnia. And then to the other one, you do chalitza, because obviously you cannot marry both of them. Because if we follow the side of the doubt that the yibum of a katan is effective, so then he was fully married to her, and now it is a normal case where a man has two wives, where you can only do yibum to one. So on that possibility, you wouldn't be able to do yibum to both. Therefore, we say you do yibum to whichever one you want. They are both fully possible to do yibum with. And then you do chalitza to the other one on the possibility that the yibum of a katan is fully meaningful, and now this katan who became a gadol was married to two women, and you can't do yibum to both of them. Now our parak concludes with one caveat. Until now we've been saying that this boy was between the age of 9 and 13, meaning he's above the age of 9, but he is not yet a gadol. He has not yet reached the age of majority. And the Mishnah clarifies that in the conclusion of our parak. Echad shu ben teisha v'yom echad, all these rules apply whether this child is exactly 9 years and 1 day. V'echad shu esrim shana, and the same rules apply even if he's 20 years old. Right? Even all the way till he's 20 years old, shalo hevi shtei saras. As long as this boy still has not revealed the signs of majority, still has not fully hit the age of godless, so then 13 doesn't turn the switch. As long as he hasn't showed the physical signs of godless, then his yibum still has the same status. He's still, for the purposes of yibum, considered a katan, and his yibum is meaningless, and therefore all the rules that we've discussed in the past four Mishnayos would apply to him.